and I've still got every faith in Cooper, and I think he'll find a solution.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. My name's James, and welcome to the Fan View, where we get one of our correspondents on to discuss what's going on with their clubs. Let me introduce you to our Nottingham Forest correspondent, someone you've never seen before. It's Mr. Mark Southerns. How are you, Mark?
Hello. I'm all right. Yeah. Newcomer to doing this kind of thing, aren't I? You know?
Yeah. It probably seemed like a good idea in the summer. I don't know if it's quite such a good idea.
Well, you know, it's easy in the summer when optimism is high and, you know, the players were coming in and out. Now, you know, kind of like 6-7 games in, we're kind of, well, worse than I expected even. And I didn't expect it to be easy at the start. And so it's like, oh, you know, but it's much more difficult. Reality has hit home, should we say, right?
Yes, we're going to talk about some of that reality. Before we do, how are you feeling, firstly?
Oh, I'm all right. Yeah. So I got back from New York and I went out there with Gianni and Ed, who others from the FBL community will know, the Fest crew. And we all got COVID. So I don't know which of us took it out there. I did do a test before I went because I had a bit of a sniffle and I was negative. But then when we were out there, we were all right, but we were the only three. No, we didn't infect anyone at the Fest, luckily. We, by the time we got home, a few days back, we all had it. So I'm all right, though. It hit me a little bit harder than last time, but I'm all right. I'm fully recovered now.
Good. I also have to ask as well, you go to the wrong airport on the way home.
I did, yeah. I did a Home Alone, yeah. What a disaster that was. So I got there like 4:30, super early, because I'm super worried about that kind of thing. Don't want to get there too late. Don't want to be run into the gate or anything. So I got there super early, but not early enough to go like 250 miles to the next airport, which is what I would have had to have done. But, you know, it's just a freak because the plane I was getting back from Newark flew to Heathrow exactly the same time as a plane from JFK. So when I looked online, I saw the time of the plane. I obviously thought, oh, it must be JFK. We flew in there and I had to do like kind of like the bumbling Englishman to plead to get on the flight from JFK. But they were really good. So thumbs up to BA.
Telling a story. No, it's good they got it sorted for you. I was telling a story on the stream a couple of weeks ago about I ended up going to the wrong airport, as in it was the wrong part of the country I was going to. But about turning up at the wrong airport, mate, that's...
I know.
That's splendid.
What's scary is I got through two lines of security before they spotted it. I was almost on the bloody plane.
You must have shit yourself, mate.
I did. I wasn't happy. I got out of it. Yeah. So, yeah, all good.
Right. Let's talk Forest. You warned us in pre-season that it was going to be a tough start for you, which it was. But performances, I think, were okay. I think it was acceptable in the first four. The defeats to Bournemouth and Fulham are damaging. Since what's happening, mate?
I think that West Ham performance was good. The Spurs performance, we were both at that game, we went together. You know, I thought we put a decent account in of ourselves there. I think you go into the Bournemouth Fuller games and you're almost expecting that you need to get points out of those two. And I don't know whether that changed the mindset of the players. But I just think that the method of play that we're going with, which is what I saw in the Championship, certainly against Fulham. The Fulham game reminded me a lot of when we played Swansea at home. We surrendered a lot of possession to a very good pass inside.
Didn't you win that 5-0 that day?
We won that 5-1. And the difference is Swansea made mistakes, right? So we surrendered a lot of possession. I think they had 74% possession that day, Swansea. We were beaten 5-1. Because eventually their intricate play would break down and we would catch them and we would score a goal. Against Fulham, they went 40, 50 passes and they didn't put one wrong. And, you know, that's the difference. You're playing against teams, even Fulham, who came up with us, who are just going to be better in possession, who are not going to make mistakes. And when they do make mistakes, they're going to recover better than teams in the Championship. So Cooper's methods of, you know, playing the three at the back, pushing the wing backs high, waiting for the mistake and then transitioning very quick and using like Johnson on the break, it got us one or two chances and we got the corner that we got the first goal from that kind of scenario. We broke on them, Johnson crossed, they deflected Gibbs White's shot, went for corner and Aaron scored from the corner and we caught them in the second half as well with it. But we surrendered so much of the ball in between those goals, in between those moments, and Fulham were a good side. You know, they were a good side in the Championship, but we had you know, we lost 4-0 to them at home, and then we went to their place and we played well against them and kept them out, and we nicked a goal and won 1-0. That was when we were at our most confident, though. And right now, it looks like we've lost that confidence in our legs. Cooper doesn't know his best 11, and the system and the method of play isn't having anywhere near the same results that we saw in the Championship. That last one perhaps is predictable, right? And the first one, yeah, as in he didn't know his best 11, that's predictable as well, right? You could see it coming. So many players came in, it was going to take him time, but I'm worried that we haven't got much time left to adjust before we're too far behind. That's what my worry is now.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned obviously we was at a game in game week 4, which we won 2-0, essentially, because Harry Kane was the difference between the two teams, and you had a slack moment, particularly on the second goal.
Yeah,
you had chances that day, mate. I was just looking back statistically, in the first half against us, 335 passes. In the first half against Fulham, 200 less.
Yeah.
I think that also tells us a story about Tottenham a little bit. But he tells you a lot about, I think, Forest and actually playing against sides that retain the ball. Is there going to be a struggle to get it back? Is that part of the issue here?
I think it is. I think that Cooper... I think we defend well without the ball. We're good at trying to control a game without the ball. But the trouble is the quality of opponent now is a level above what we saw in the Championship, obviously. So when you surrender the ball to these teams, even Fulham, who came up with us, they've got players like Pereira who have come into that team who is a quality player. They've lost players, but I think they've strengthened well. And I think the difference between Fulham and us is that they strengthened in key areas where they needed to strengthen, where they lost Cavalio and so on. They've got the same core unit they came up with. Mitrovic is obviously their key man, and he's doing what he did for them in the Championship. And they look far more settled with their method and pattern of play. They were really comfortable on the ball.
They haven't bought 22 players, Mark.
No. And I think Cooper must have realised that he was going to face a task to begin with, and I did as well. I said that it'll be, you know, 6, 7, 8 weeks before we started seeing them play the way Cooper wants them to play. Unfortunately, that's coincided with our best run of fixtures, and we've already lost two of them. So arguably, two of the 6-pointers, Bournemouth at home, Fulham at home, two of the fixtures that you think, you know, if they were coming at the end of the season, they are must-win games because they're probably going to decide whether we're going to stay up or not. They haven't come at the end of the season. They've come at the start, and we've lost them both. So, you know, that's two opportunities there for 3 points gone. But at the start of the season, we'd have looked at those fixtures and gone, right, Bournemouth at home, Fulham at home, you need 4 or 6 points in those games. We haven't got any. That's a real problem. So now we've already got to look at some of those games, you know, like you look at games like, you know, West Ham away and Southampton away and you've got to win them now. There's a few of them you've got to win. You've got to pick up some unlikely wins now to make up for those points we've lost against Bournemouth and Fulham. And right now, I don't see us having a method of play or a first 11 that's settled enough to get those kind of results. So I'm really worried now.
Is Cooper at risk here? Despite how highly you spoke about him in the summer, does he get to a point where the owner has been quick to act in the past that he just goes, hang on, I've bought all these players. You're on 4 points from 8 or 9, for example. I'm changing.
Yeah, I really hope not. I mean, I don't want to entertain the idea of going down, but I would rather go down with Cooper and come back up better prepared next time than get rid of Cooper and get someone in who wouldn't save us. And then, you know, we'd have a struggle getting back up again. You know, I think I do worry though, because I do think the owner bought those players and that brings with it a certain amount of pressure. Like, you know, he delivered. As far as he's concerned, he delivered, right? And then it was up to Cooper to turn those players into a team that could get us results to keep us in the league. And right now he's struggling to get near that. He's still got time, I think. But it's performance now as well, right? It's not just result, it's performance. You know, the fact that we capitulated in both those games is what's worrying. Like, we got ourselves ahead in both of them and we've lost them both. Now, we can't continue to do that. We're shipping too many goals. We're giving up too many opportunities. We're just about creating enough to nick games, but we're not going to nick games if we're letting him through the other end. So he's got to get that right. And I don't know if his system is going to be able to be adapted. I don't know if he's got an 11 in this current system that's going to work to get us those results. I think he might have to look at it tactically and make some sacrifices.
Positives, though. Obviously, look, you wouldn't have expected anything against Tottenham. You wouldn't have expected anything at the Etihad or at Newcastle opening day.
No.
And the other four fixtures, you've scored first.
Mm, true.
So you've dropped, what, 8 points from winning positions already?
Mm, yeah, I mean, I still think that we're lacking an obvious goal threat. I still think, you know, Lingard has come in and hasn't done what I expected him to do. And we've got that conundrum now with Gibbs White and Lingard effectively adopting the same role and the same spaces. Johnson's not an out-and-out centre-forward. He never was going to be. And I don't think Awoniyi is going to become this season the striker that we need to keep us up, right? So I think, strangely, not getting Batshuayi could be a problem, right? When we didn't get Batshuayi, everyone was like, oh, thank God for that. It was getting a bit silly when we didn't get him. But actually, you know, he's still Belgium's bloody first-choice striker, some of the time. He played the other night and scored for them. And, you know, he's experienced in the Premier League and he could have done a job. And the fact that we went for him shows that we were, right until the end, looking to recruit a forward, right? That must show that Cooper felt we were short in that area. You know, maybe there was other targets we don't know about that fell through or we got turned down for. So I fully expect us again in January to move for a striker. And
we haven't really seen Dennis yet, though, hardly.
No, we haven't seen Dennis yet. There's a lot of talk about, was Dennis a Cooper signing? And I don't know if he was, because it doesn't strike me he's the kind of player that he would look to bring in, because he, in the past, he's been kind of associated with dressing room dissent and so on amongst the squad. That, you know, we had that at Bruges and we had it at Watford towards the end as well. Talk of, well, he's a bit of a disruptive influence. So that doesn't strike me as someone that Cooper would be mad to get, you know, gagging to get his hands on. Having said that, he's proven in the Premier League to be able to get goals in a poor side, right? Watford weren't a great side. They didn't have a lot of creativity. We have got players in Lingard and Gibbs-White who can create for him, and Johnson and the wing-backs. So Dennis could yet play a part, but Cooper's been slow getting him into the team. I think he's had a few knocks. I don't think he's fully fit yet. So maybe that's behind it. And Dennis could yet be the solution. But I think we're going to have to either drop Gibbs-White back into a midfield, into a deeper role, or we're going to have to not play one of Gibbs-White or Lingard, and it'll be Lingard. Gibbs-White will always start. And we've seen recently it's been Lingard who's made way. So I think a tactical shift is coming, and we might even see it against Leicester.
I think that the big issue I spotted in the Fulham game was the two in midfield, Yates and Freuler, were having to work way too hard.
Overrun, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just keep picking it off the side of you. And I actually use the analogy of comparison to Tottenham in terms of Tottenham funneling into a 5-4-1 without the ball. So wide areas don't get overloaded, but you don't. You still leave two right up top. So you're just getting badly outnumbered in midfield, which I think can be fixed by, like, Gibbs-White or even Lingard can play wide of a midfield three.
Yeah.
So you've got, and you're not short of players in terms of the amount of midfield players you've got. I think that's fixable. But I think the system's got to change somewhere, which might even detract a little bit more with the ball, but will protect you better.
Yeah, exactly. I think that you've got to get Freuler in the team, I would have thought, right?
Yeah,
great. You don't buy the Atalanta captain and a regular for Switzerland. He was one of the best holding midfielders in Serie A, right? You've got to find a position for him. I think he's going to take time to adapt to the physicality. I mean, Richarlison done him completely, didn't he, in the game we were at with the shoulder barge for Kane's goal. And I think it was like, welcome to the Premier League. There you go. That's how physical it is, right? He's got to adjust to that. But he's a classy player, and he doesn't give the ball up easily. But he's got to play with two in front of him. And I think you've got to play O'Brien, because O'Brien, I think, of all the players that we've come up with, other than Johnson, who we expect, you know, I still expect big things from Johnson. But O'Brien's adapted to the Premier League really well. Every game he's played, he's shown up in, and he looks like, you know, he's got to be in the starting 11. So for me, you consider dropping Gibbs-White back into a midfield three, and you play Lingard ahead of one of Johnson or an Awoniyi. And then, you know, you have to get Freuler and O'Brien alongside Gibbs-White. Gibbs-White has played deeper before, right? He was an 8, wasn't he? He might even have been a 6 for a while for Wolves. He might have even played you know, a kind of in the pivot. So Gibbs White was bought as a 10, but I think we're going to have to rethink that, because I think you've got to get Lingard in the team.
For the or you just go with Gibbs White and Johnson.
Or you go with Gibbs White and Johnson, yeah. Yeah.
Or is Johnson's place at risk at all? Or?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's got to be, because Johnson doesn't do enough. Doesn't do enough in the build-up. You know, he is our best, you know, he's our best finisher. I mean, you get him a chance, he'll take the chances. And you know, he looked good again for Wales the other night. He shows up well, but he's not doing enough for us. He's not contributing to the build-up enough for us. And maybe, again, in the Championship, we could get away with that. He could conserve his energy for when he could punish the opponent. But in the Premier League, he needs to be playing a more active part. He needs to be on the ball more. And we're not, you know, he's not including himself for one reason or another in that. And I don't know why that is. So if he's not going to do that, you've got to play physicality. I think you've got to play R&E and Gibbs White off him, and then bring Johnson on for an impact sub, maybe. I don't know if that'll happen yet. I think, you know, he's going to be very reluctant to drop Johnson, but I think you've got to get us that extra body in midfield.
I think that the getting the extra body in midfield feels like a must. Yeah. Do you think he will go that way, Cooper? Or is he going to be stubborn about it?
No, he'll go that way.
Okay.
I think he's good enough to know when it's not working. Like, he changed the system against Fulham mid-game. I think that he'll do something like he'll go to a back four, or he'll drop, you know, he'll play the front, he'll play, like you say, Gibbs White off Johnson, or Gibbs White off Aberney, drop Johnson and bring O'Brien back into a three, I think. And he'll play Fuller in front of the three to protect us more. I think that's what he'll do. I'd like to think that he's had these 2 weeks to sit and take stock. And he obviously won't have his full squad to work with, but I think, you know, on paper he'll work it out, and he'll know that he's got to enact some kind of change, because if he keeps the same system and we keep losing games, the pressure's only going to increase, because obviously the owner's going to look at him and go, you're not even trying anything. You know, you're not, you know, I expect you to work with the players you got and try methods out and tactics out. And so I think he's got to be seen to be doing that. And so I think he will make a change, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think even just looking back at the lineup you picked against Fulham, I think you can change it with the same 11.
Yeah.
Just as we said, by dropping Gibbs White back in, you can either leave the two up front or drop Johnson in a bit deeper to link more.
That's
you can do it with the same personnel, or obviously you can bring the likes of Lingard into the team.
Yeah.
I want to talk about some of the defensive players, Mark. Is it a lazy comment to say that's a Championship back three?
I think when Nikati's in there, it looks better and it feels better. His loss after the West Ham game was difficult for us to take, because he looked like he was going to have, he had a bit of pace about him. He was very strong. He was like tenacious and keen in the tackle. And I think him with McKenna and Worrall would be okay. Worrall's the captain. I thought that he would step up, and I think he's had a bit of an unfair focus really on him. He's always become the scapegoat already, and I think that is unfair. I think he is a good player. I think there is a Premier League player there, but he's taking longer to adjust, and he's exposed. But that back three have been exposed, right? There's no doubt about that.
Partly because of the midfield two problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They've had Premier League attackers running at them and from the off, right? So they've had the hardest of tests, if you like. You know, they played Man City, they played Spurs, and they played the likes of Newcastle and West Ham, who have also got good attackers. Arguably, most teams in the Premier League have got one or two attackers that are going to be hard to handle. So we've got to get more protection for that back three. McKenna, I think, is an excellent defender. I think he's a Premier League defender as well. So, no, I think it can be a Premier League defence, but it's going to take time to settle, and it needs Nikati back in there, I think, because he's pretty key. But right now, Bolly didn't.
When's he back?
Great, did he? He went away with Senegal, but he came back early so he's back at Forest now.
Could play Monday.
He could even play Monday. Don't know. I mean, like, he was on the bench for Senegal, then he came back for their second game, presumably at Forest request. So I don't know whether he's broken down and have another difficulty, but the fact that he flew out meant that obviously Forest were happy to let him go, and so there's a chance, but I think he's back soon. But added to that, McKenna's withdrawn early from the Scotland squad, so McKenna could be an injured out. So, yeah, I think the Leicester game's going to be fun. A lot of goals, got to be.
I think if you line up we've been joking about it for over a week that if you line up the same way and if Leicester have still got the same manager, then yeah, it really could be a car crash with 7-8 goals or so. I really think it could.
Yeah.
But from what you're saying, there is a suggestion that you'll firm it up a little bit, which I think could have a difference. If McKenna's out, who plays left-sided centre-back?
Oh, that's a very good question. It'd be difficult to see what he would do. I mean, he's got players there. You know, he's got the French lad Bardet, who hasn't played yet. I don't know how close he is to fitness and whether he could be considered. But he's covering that on that side, I believe. So I think McKenna will make it. I think we've seen many times. Well, we saw several times last season, already once this season, that he goes into games and injured out and always makes it. So I'm optimistic. If he's out, we have got problems because he's probably of the three at the moment. If you discount Niakati, of Bolly, Worrell and McKenna, McKenna's probably the one that is most reliable right now.
Would you expect Worrell to come back in for Bolly? You did briefly touch on it, but he had a bit of a nightmare against Fulham, Willy Bolly, didn't he?
Well, I think he played because of Mitrovic, right, and to deal with the physicality. And so I saw the sense in giving Bolly a run out in that game. But I feel better with Worrell. And strangely, I feel better with Worrell on the pitch. I think he will adapt, but you just need to get this back three more protection. I think with Freuler in front of him, hopefully they'll get that. And hopefully that's what Cooper moves to do. I think we've got to stop shipping goals. That's the big thing, right? I think we'll always have a threat on the break with Gibbs White, Lingard, Johnson, Aaron E. I'm quite encouraged by the fact that, I think that's only going to get better. Lingard's going to get better. Gibbs White's going to get better. Johnson's going to get better. So I think we've still got goals on the break on transition. I like the two wing backs. So I think we've got enough there in attacking terms at the moment. And again, we're by in January, I'm sure. I'm sure we'll move another forward in January. We've just got to stay in touching distance. So we've got to stop conceding goals to give ourselves a chance, I think.
We'll get on to Nico because I'm sure that the FPL managers will want your opinion on him.
Yeah.
What have you made of Renan Lodi so far? I know you were quite excited. We were speaking about him when we were heading up to the game in game week 4 when it looked like the transfer was going to happen. What have you made of him so far?
Like him. Yeah. Plenty of pace. I mean, he's got pedigree, hasn't he? Yeah, you know, he's Brazil's left back or second choice left back. Obviously very experienced at Atletico. Wasn't getting games for one reason or another there. I mean, they had options, didn't they? And that, you know, I think he wasn't a regular for them, and he's come to us to get in to cement his place in the World Cup, score for Brazil. And I think, again, he's going to need time to adapt, but he hasn't done anything wrong in the two games for me. I think that he's going to be a good outlet for us, good pace on the break. And, I think that we've got Richards coming back to fitness, hopefully, as well. So we'll have options there as well. And we've obviously forgotten Toffolo. We actually started the season well. I think he's been a bit unlucky, but yeah, I think that, from what I've seen, I like what I see there. So I think the two wing backs are fine. I think those roles are settled. Aurier, of course, is an option.
Well, that's going to be my next question. Are you looking forward to seeing Serge?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, because does he not play right centre back as well?
In an emergency, he could. I can't recall him playing that at Tottenham.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, he's going to struggle to get games at wing back, I think. So, it'd be interesting to see how much of him we see this season. He's obviously going to take time to get up to speed, get his fitness. But I actually, he's a liability defensively, as you know, better than anyone. But I think going forward, he's got something to offer. So he could be one that,
to offer than Williams, though?
No. But last 20 minutes of a game, if the game's stretched, he could give you that extra injection of pace, which could be handy in some matches. So I think it's a good sign. It's good.
It's
cover.
The most frequent Forest question I get is Aurier going to take Williams' minutes?
No way. No way. No way.
Sure?
Yeah.
So why buy him? Well, no, you can buy him. It's free transfer.
Well, you need a good... We want experience in every position, don't we? So that's it. I mean, if Williams gets an injury, he starts, right? So we've got Bianconi, who could have played right wing back as well, but I think that maybe Cooper's had a look at him and felt he's some way off being ready as well. So Aurier kind of made sense to cover Williams. But Williams has been arguably our best player. Other than O'Brien, I would say he's been our best player. So, and there's more to come from him as well. Like, by the end of the season, he will be a Premier League player one way or another. If it's not with us, it'll be with somebody else, I expect. But
expect him to stay up. Are you a Nico Williams owner?
Yeah.
How often are you playing him?
Played him last week. Played him against Fulham.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Most people will have.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've got no qualms in playing him in some games because he offers a lot in attacking terms. And, I've got to sitting here now, I've got to expect Forest to get better. I've got to expect Forest to stop conceding as many goals and chances. And when we do get better, I still expect Williams to be a prominent figure in our attack. So his offset plays now Gibbs White's around. And I did have Gibbs White. And he got me an assist in the Bournemouth game. And I was going to take him into the Leicester game because set pieces, as we know, against Leicester should be profitable. And I was going to keep him, but I had the exact money to move to Zaha. And so I've made that move. So, and I think Zaha is like quite an important player over this next phase in the FPL. And if I'd have not made the move now and Zaha goes up before deadline, I'd be locked out of that. So I think even though I think Gibbs White could be a key player in the Leicester game, given that he's on our set pieces, I've made the move to get Zaha in. So
is he on all of them, Mark?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah, yeah. I think he's on one side of corners and all free kicks, including direct free kicks.
Yeah, I think part the reason that Forest still appeal is people have gone on for obviously in advance of say the Bournemouth game. Looking at going Bournemouth, Leeds, Forest. Bournemouth, sorry, Mark.
Yeah.
And originally, I think we'd have looked at that in pre-season, we'd have looked at that three-game run. But actually, what we know now, it was a five-game run, wasn't it? Because of Leicester.
Yeah, Leicester,
so Leicester away and Villa at home are still good fixtures. And very importantly, people need Nico Williams in game week 12, presumably, away to Brighton, which isn't great on paper, but it's fine.
I like to think that it can turn like that. And you know, if we get something at Leicester, if we see something a bit more at Leicester, right, if we get a point, or even if we lose, but we lose 3-2 and there's a lot of fight, the crowd will be there again for the Villa game. You know, I'll be at that Villa game and I expect the atmosphere to be crackling again and I expect the supporters to be behind the team again. So I think Forest fans have had a reality check. Although for me, really, I kind of expected it. Perhaps I said to you, didn't I, at the start, I expected 3 more points than we've got. I thought we'd have 7 points by now. We've got 4. And I think it's the nature of the last two defeats that have really shook us. And that's what I'm nervous about. If I see a bit more fight against Leicester, if I see a bit of spark in Johnson, in Lingard, in Gibbs White, if I see the defence getting a bit more protection, even if we lose that game, that'll be a positive, because I think going into the Villa and Wolves games, I think they are teams that we've got a chance against. You know, I think we can get points in those games. Both Villa and Wolves are are inconsistent, both last season and this season so far. And, you know, we can test them. So, I'm still thinking we can do it. We can stay up for sure. I've got to think like that. But we need to see shoots of progress now. It's you know, 7 games.
These next 3 coming up, Leicester, Villa, Wolves, they're all Midlands derbies to an extent. What's the rivalry from Forest? I know Derby's the main one. What's the rivalry from Forest fans to these 3
Leicester,
teams?
Leicester, it's quite big, yeah. Leicester, it's spicy enough. Yeah, yeah. We don't want to lose to Leicester. We've got songs about Leicester.
Do you want to sing them? No, don't do that.
No, you know, they feature alongside Derby in a couple of songs, but then, you know, it's not as bitter, but we don't want to lose to the Foxes. I mean, and also, you know, where they're at, you know, they're below us 1 point, you know, we can't call it a relegation battle, but you know,
can we call it El Sacchio?
Well, no.
Surely Rodgers is gone if Rodgers, you go there and win, surely.
If they could afford to sack him, yeah. I mean, from what we hear, there's a big compensation payment if that's the case. I don't want to consider Cooper and the sack, really. I don't want to entertain that idea, really. I have thought about it, and it saddens me a lot.
Yeah, yeah, no, I get that. Made it clear to us in the summer, like the connection with the crowd and the manager and how it's built, and you've got a collective and kind of an unwavering belief in what he's going to do. And I think that's why you've got that belief that he can see what's happening and he'll change it. My just concern is from the outside looking in is I've seen this situation so many times before with teams who come up and eventually, like if you lose to Leicester, you lose at home to Villa, I wouldn't be surprised, unfortunately.
No. No, it depends.
If something changed.
A lot depends on who he would have to come in, right? You know, he would have to, I think, to justify it to the supporters, he would have to have a bloody big name at the ready to come in, right? You couldn't.
Gareth Southgate?
I don't know. I you know, I don't want to speculate. He's got a job, isn't he?
He's got a job. He's definitely still got a job.
Yeah. So, you know, I think he knows that there would be, it would be met with a lot of dissent from the supporters. Even if we lost the next three, I think there'll be supporters who would be absolutely devastated to lose Cooper. And unless it was a huge name who we looked at and thought, fair ado's, you know, he will come in and he'll probably give us more chance, then it would be a negative reaction from the supporters. Who would that be? I don't know. But it would have to be he'd have to pay and get a big name in. And if he did, then I guess it's his club. He wants to keep them up. That's fair enough. We wouldn't be able to question it. But I think unless it was someone, you know, of stellar status.
I think it's the volume of transfers, isn't it? Even more so. If he'd come up, and I know the thing is with yourselves, you had to go and buy sort of 10, 12 players as a minimum anyway, because the amount of loan players and out-of-contract players you had last year, which I think people overlook. Did you have a point, though, when it started getting sort of like 18, 19? Did you yourself think, stop? Or did you think, keep buying players? What's going through your mind as a fan now?
Well, I think once you get to 14, 15, you've already gone over the limit of, well, this is going to take time to settle. So you might as well keep going at that point. Because I think you kind of hope that if you sign 20 players and five or six of them come off as top quality signings, that might be enough to keep you up. You haven't got them, they haven't all got to come off. Some of them have just come in as depth, as cover, right, obviously. But you need the likes of Lingard, Gibbs White, Freuler and the wing backs to come off. And I think Niakati is a key player as well. Henderson's already done enough to show that he can be a key figure in keeping us up. So I think what has happened so far is we haven't seen those four, five, six players emerge yet. We've only seen glimpses of one or two of them. And that was bound to take time. I think there is more to come from Lingard. There certainly is from Gibbs White. And there certainly is from the likes of Brennan Johnson as well. And I do think Freuler and O'Brien with Mangala. I mean, Mangala, we haven't mentioned, he's looked good, but he's got injured as well. So I think, to be fair, I think O'Brien, Freuler and Mangala is probably the midfield three. You play at least two of those, if not all three, if you can get them in the team. But
not Ryan Yates?
No, I think those three would have to be ahead of him from what I've seen. O'Brien, I think, has got to be in the 11. I think Mangala has looks to have the quality where he's got to play. And I think you've got to find a way of getting Freuler in. Why did you sign him? You know, he's got to play.
Well, Freuler started for Switzerland in their victory at Spain at the weekend.
Yeah, long time Xhaka. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The great Granit Xhaka, who is playing very well at the moment.
Well,
but if you go with a midfield three like that, it's only one of Lingard or Gibbs White, then, isn't it?
Yeah, or he changes to four at the back, And will he do that? I don't know. I think he's got to do something. I think the owners will be going, I think they'll frown if we go to Leicester and we lose convincingly again and it's the same system. I think then the questions will start to be asked.
My take was, I mean, you give us a proper game in game week four. My take afterwards was very much, you'll definitely win some home games that perhaps people don't expect. And I think we've seen a bit of that in the FA Cup last year as well. So I think some teams would get a little bit swamped by how high the wing backs get and the amount of pressure and how high up the pitch you get against certain teams that won't be accustomed to it. You must throw bodies forward quicker than, say, Tottenham, who play a similar system, if you will. The concern is, though, that you're not just dominating enough and teams are walking through you, mate.
I mean, and even in the games that we've done, well, don't forget that Henderson saved a penalty against West Ham, saved a penalty against Spurs.
Yeah.
So we could have easily drawn or lost the West Ham game and we could have lost the Spurs game by more.
I think easily could have not lost to us, in fairness.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, Everton away was, we should have got a win there as well. And who knows, if we'd have got the victory there, we'd have built off that maybe, because that would have been, you know, two wins out of three, and that would have been a very strong start. But it didn't go for us.
Do you think there's a fitness issue?
I think not. I think we were a fit side in the Championship. I think we, you know, they might be given the new players.
Reflecting on the amount of late goals you've conceded, even just thinking about that, Everton was obviously late. The second goal Tottenham scored was late. We'll ignore City, but obviously the position you was in to concede 6 second half goals against Bournemouth and Fulham, it can't be acceptable for anybody, can it?
No, and I think there are even games in the Championship as well when our heads have gone down and teams have buried us. I mean, I'm looking at that Bournemouth result at the end of the season when we had to get...
It was disappointing that night.
And they just swallowed us up, right? You know, they ran the midfield again and you know, Garner and Yates didn't show up at all. And in the second half, the first half was decent, but the second half, they just overrun us. So, and I think, you know, in some games, Sheffield United in the second leg as well, again, they completely overrun us. We just couldn't get a grip on it. And that Fulham game reminded me of that again, where we just got swamped in midfield and just couldn't find a way to get a foothold. And Cooper's got to change it to give us the ability to, when we concede a goal, we can get a foothold and get back control of the game, whether that's with the ball or without the ball. But we lost control of the game against Fulham. You know, in that 10 minutes, it was just absolutely disastrous. And teams at this level will punish you like that, right? You know.
So if you're in charge Monday night, what team are you picking? Let's assume everyone's fit.
Yeah, I think I'm playing Gibbs White ahead of Johnson. I'll give Johnson another run out. You've got to pick one of Aaron E or Johnson, I think. Yeah, I think you've got to put another body in midfield. So I think we start with Johnson and Gibbs White off him, basically, and then get that extra body in midfield.
But Gibbs White deeper, obviously.
Yeah, I think that's what you got to do, yeah.
So you'd stay with the three at the back?
I think he will. I think he'll try and make the changes subtle. Like you say, I think Worrell will come back in, though, and I hope Nkati's fit, but I think Worrell will come back in. It's going to be a really interesting game because, you know, Leicester aren't in great shape, obviously. They're vulnerable. So arguably we should go there and try and have a go at them. But I don't know. It's really...
The flip is, though, if you defend well enough against them, Mark, you could beat them by defending well.
Yeah, and winning some set pieces, yeah.
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 If you run wildcard, any Forest going for you?
Not at the moment, no. I think Williams, you know, Patterson's got the injury for Everton, hasn't he? So, you know, I think Williams is still worth having if you're going to play four at the back and have a fifth defender on the bench. Williams, Nico, is the one. Yeah. So
you wouldn't go Johnson or Awoniyi ahead of Solanke? It's all the flavour at the moment.
No, because I think Johnson's not far off getting put on the bench and seeing if we can find a way of playing without him. Because I don't want to see it, but I just don't think he offers enough at the moment, and we need more help to get control of the game and get on the ball more. And he's just not doing that. He's not offering enough of that. So either we've got to get more out of him or we've got to look at a change. So I wouldn't go Johnson yet.
Fair. What would you say to someone who said, Mark, I want to captain James Maddison this week?
Yeah. It's hard to discourage him, to be honest.
Wow, well, really? That's big.
Well, I think he is their key man, right? He's obviously going to be the key threat. They've got pace up front. Vardy's not what he was, but they've got Iheanacho and Dakar who can really cause us problems, right? So I think Maddison's going to be a problem for us because he's going to play in that pocket and we haven't had cover there, you know. So he's got to get Froiler in or Yates on him. Someone's got to sit on him and shut that down. So I wouldn't captain Maddison because I think you've got to look at Haaland or Salah, really, or De Bruyne. But I think there's something in the game for Maddison, yeah, unfortunately.
I take it if you were on wildcard, you definitely would have James Maddison at the moment, therefore.
I think I would, yeah. I've got Bowen and Zaha now. I'm quite happy with those two. But Maddison and arguably Saka are really strong alternatives that I would consider with the wildcard. I'll stick with the two I've got, but Bowen will probably make way for either Saka or Maddison soon, I would have thought.
All right, mate. Good luck.
Thank you.
Do you think you'll get signed on Monday?
I do. because I think Cooper would have worked on and things over the 2 weeks, and I've still got every faith in Cooper, and I think he'll find a solution. And I think we're a good bunch of players. I think there's talent there, and I think he will get the spirit back that we need to fight and win points.
And currently, which three teams do you think will go down?
That's really tough, isn't it? That is really tough. Really difficult question. I think Bournemouth, you've still got to put them in the equation for going down. I think that I'd have to say Southampton still are there, are vulnerable, I would say. Because I don't know if they've got good young players, but are they going to develop fast enough? The signings they've made are signings of the future, and I still think...
Struggling to score as well.
Up front, they're struggling, right? So I think that they're probably vulnerable. A third one is difficult. If it's not Forest, it's really difficult to pick, isn't it? Because I think Everton would still be a team I think will struggle. I don't think we can put Leeds down there. I don't think we could put Brentford down there. The way they've started, they look like both those two teams look like they got too much. Are we starting to get Wolves and Villa in the conversation? I don't, you know, Wolves have got talent. I don't think they're down there. It's very, very difficult.
Well, Wolves are similar problems to Southampton. They'll dominate games, but same, not scoring goals. Villa, I think, probably do have enough about them.
Yeah.
You haven't even mentioned Leicester, though, mate. The team that's bottom of the league. It's like an assumption that they'll get out of it, isn't it?
I think they've got a big problem with, you know, at the moment, because I don't think Rodgers is going to walk. And I don't know if they've got the stomach at the moment to sack him.
He knows what the payoff is. Well, he's not going to walk, is he?
It looks so. We've heard, right? So I think they've got a big problem at the moment. They've got talented players, and they should recover. But the longer the rot they're in now continues to set in, then they are going to be down there. Yeah. But really, they should have enough. Again, it depends in January as well. Do they hold on to Tillemans and Madison and players like that as well? Are they going to get lucky with injuries, because they're exposed to injuries now, because they haven't got the squad, certainly the back that they had, they haven't got the options. So Leicester are in the mix, yeah, they've got to be, because of where they are now and the fact that the situation isn't great with morale and the situation with Rodgers. So they could be the third team. This is where I'm struggling, right? I want to sit here and say Forest will stay up, but to find three teams that we're going to finish above now, six or seven games in, and we've seen a bit of Brentford, we've seen a bit of Leeds, we've seen a bit of Everton
and Fulham.
None of them. And Fulham look, yeah, I don't think Fulham would be in trouble now. I look at the way they're playing, their system of play. As long as they're all right with injuries, if Mitrovic stays fit, you know, if Pereira stays fit, they don't get any injuries to Ream or any key defenders, then I think they'll be okay. Just the way they play, they're a good side, and credit to Silva. He's kept with the ethos that got them up, and he's getting results with it in the top division. So I only wish Fulham well. I think they'll be fine.
I will remind you, Mark, that there are only seven games gone, and I believe you had 1 point at this stage last season.
Very true. So what?
I think
you're going to come third. Is that what you're saying?
Not in this league, mate. But there's a very, very long way to go, and I think it should act as a reminder to Forest fans that. Calm at the moment, but I do think these Leicester Villa games have something's got to, even if it's beating Villa, even if you lose a seven goal thriller Monday night and beat Villa the following Monday, something is important, I think, in the next two, mate. Yeah. I wish you well.
Thank you very much, James. Pleasure as always. And hopefully, when I come back on, we're in a better shape and I'm a bit more optimistic.
I hope so, mate. You never know. Thomas Tuchel might be your manager.
Well, I didn't want to say.
Mark, for the people who live under a rock, which I'm guessing no one does if they're listening or watching this, where can they follow you on the socials, mate?
Yeah, so I've got to remind myself of my own address. Yeah, so on Twitter, I'm at @FFScout_Mark. And then every Wednesday, normally, I'm on FBL Black Box on YouTube and podcasts. So, yeah, catch me on there.
Good stuff. Give our love to us, mate. Thanks so much. No deadline stream this week because I'm sorry, I won't make it to the Emirates in time and I've got a ticket. So I'll be doing a not the deadline stream on Friday night, which I'll produce an audio for as well. But just leaves me to say thank you very much again to Mark. Good luck, mate. Cue music, please, man child. Fantasy.
Fantasy Football Show.